What if the very desires you've been taught to suppress are actually doorways to divine encounter? This revolutionary perspective forms the heart of Adele Elberg Calhoun's transformative work. Rather than viewing spiritual disciplines as religious obligations or items on a spiritual checklist, she reframes them as pathways that fulfill our deepest longings for connection with God. When Jesus asked the blind beggar, "What do you want me to do for you?" he wasn't merely gathering information. He was inviting Bartimaeus to name his desire as the starting point for transformation. This same invitation extends to us today. Our yearnings for peace, purpose, healing, and connection aren't distractions from spirituality. They're divine invitations leading us toward practices that create space for God's transformative presence. Like sailors who can't manufacture wind but can position their sails to catch it, we can't produce spiritual growth through sheer willpower, but we can arrange our lives to welcome the Spirit's movement. Have you ever felt lost in the vast wilderness of spiritual practices? Calhoun organizes disciplines into 7 pathways that correspond to different soul longings through the worship framework. Worship God, celebration, gratitude, communion. Open myself to God, contemplation, examine, retreat. Relinquish the false self, confession, detachment, silence. Share my life with others, accountability, community, hospitality. Hear God's word, Bible study, Lectio Divina, memorization. Incarnate Christ's love, compassion, forgiveness, justice. Pray. Breath prayer, centering prayer, intercession. This framework recognizes that spiritual growth isn't linear, but responsive to our current needs. Consider Sarah, a marketing executive whose constant connectivity left her spiritually depleted. Her weekly Sabbath practice, setting aside one day without screens or productivity demands, transformed her relationship with God by creating space to be loved rather than achieve. The worship framework helps identify which pathways might address our current spiritual needs, honoring our unique relationship with God, circumstances, and season. Everyone worships something by assigning ultimate value to someone or something. As G.K. Chesterton observed, man found it natural to worship, even natural to worship unnatural things. The question isn't whether we worship, but what. Our culture offers countless secondary objects of devotion, success, comfort, relationships, yet these cannot satisfy our core longing for transcendence. Celebration is a powerful worship discipline, orienting our spirit toward praise. When Paul and Silas sang hymns in prison, they weren't denying their suffering, but placing it within a larger context of God's goodness. Celebration acknowledges that beneath sorrow thrums the unbroken pulse of God's joy. Similarly, gratitude transforms our perspective by connecting all aspects of our lives, as Jesus demonstrated when giving thanks for 5 loaves and 2 fish rather than lamenting scarcity. Creating a rule for life offers intentional rhythms that center our hearts on loving Christ. Unlike burdensome regulations, life-giving rules provide a realistic scaffold supporting growth. The early church's rule in Acts 2:42 shaped believers through devotion to teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer, practices that distinguish them from cultural norms while nurturing spiritual development. In our hasty culture, where identity is tied to performance, spiritual disciplines help us notice God's presence, creating space in our crowded lives to perceive the Spirit's movements. Contemplation invites us to wake up to God's presence in all things, seeing with faith, hope, and love as we seek God's thread woven through our days. While our culture emphasizes doing, contemplation reminds us that tasks may be completed, but we never exhaust the mystery of being, rooted in the God who declares, "I am who I am." The examine helps us notice God's presence in daily experiences that might otherwise be missed amid busyness. Through this practice, we discern where God appears in our day, revealing His unique design for our lives. Meanwhile, unplugging calls us to set aside technology to become fully present to God and others, acknowledging our need for face-to-face interaction that digital connections cannot replace. Each person possesses a beautiful true self given by God, yet many hide behind a defensive false self that sabotages relationships. This false self, built on temporary achievements like reputation and success, remains vulnerable due to its dependence on fleeting accomplishments. Confession helps us open our lives to God without rationalization, allowing Jesus' wounds to transform us. Detachment means replacing idolatrous relationships with wholehearted attachment to God alone, something Jesus modeled by prioritizing his Father above all else. Silence has become difficult in our technology-saturated age. We avoid it because it seems unproductive and forces us to confront uncomfortable emotions. Yet silence acts like a can opener for the heart, providing deeper access to God. Similarly, solitude creates opportunity for intimate connection with Him. In solitude, we confront our false self, the part addicted to productivity and approval. When these props fall away, we initially feel empty, revealing how dependent our identity is on external validation. This uncomfortable space allows God to reveal our true identity in Christ. Robert Mulholland suggests spiritual formation transforms us into Christ's image for the sake of others. Our spiritual journey isn't merely private, but participation in God's Trinitarian life through community. An accountability partner breaks us from self-reliant isolation, as others often see what we cannot in ourselves. Through regular, prayerful companionship, we experience transformative grace. God communicates through the written word, spoken word, and incarnate word. Scripture remains the primary channel through which the Holy Spirit reveals both our sin and belovedness. Bible study engages our minds intellectually, while Lectio Divina invites experiential knowing beyond understanding. This ancient practice follows five movements: Silentio, quiet preparation; Lectio, slow reading; Meditatio, savoring God's invitation; Oratio, prayer response; and Contemplatio, resting in God's presence. Memorization allows us to carry God's words within us constantly. Memorized scripture works in us even unconsciously, providing divine wisdom that shapes our minds and hearts, anchoring us in biblical truth regardless of circumstances. The spiritual journey unfolds through changing seasons. Spring brings enthusiasm, summer offers abundance, autumn represents transition as fervor wanes, and winter arrives when our spiritual well runs dry, calling us to relinquish our agendas and create space for God. Life circumstances naturally impact spiritual practice. Illness, job changes, and family responsibilities affect our engagement with disciplines, which must adapt to our current reality. A mother might find more meaning in practices shared with her children than in extensive solitude. Spiritual disciplines aren't about earning brownie points, but creating space for the Holy Spirit. The journey progresses incrementally through rises and falls. Transformation happens through keeping company with Jesus rather than through willpower alone. We offer ourselves. God handles transformation. These practices aren't attempts to fix our spiritual lives, but ways to follow our heart's desire into God's presence. They help us discover the unforced rhythms of grace Jesus promises, fulfilling our deepest desire to know and be known, to love and be loved, becoming fully who we were created to be.